You're listening to an Aeon podcast.
Welcome to episode one of Digging Into Gardening, the gardening podcast that gives you all the basic gardening advice you could possibly need. In this series, we talk all things gardening with gardening guru Simon Van Roy. Born into a gardening family and raised in a nursery, Simon spent his life learning the tricks of the trade. He's an experienced gardener, nursery manager, and is full of useful tips, tricks, and shortcuts to help your garden thrive. In this episode, we discuss all we should be doing to prepare for spring. Simon, spring will be here before we know it. So tell us, what should we be doing now to ensure we have a successful garden in spring?
So summer gardens are made in winter. And so it becomes most important to look after your soil and prepare your soil and feed your soil to ensure that your plants are strong and healthy come the warmer months later in the year. I recently met with a lady who'd planted her backyard, but since then has seen very little growth in her garden. Her plants are healthy, but they just don't seem to be thriving. We soon discovered that although her plants were in good shape, the soil was so tired and poor that it was struggling to sustain life. Good soil takes time, so it's super important to make a start now in order to have a good, strong growing garden in the warmer seasons.
So what are the things we need to do to ensure we have that good soil then?
Soils are a living thing and they contain millions of living microorganisms, and it's about protecting these and feeding these and nourishing these, which creates a good, strong, healthy soil. It all starts with organic matter, whether it be manures, homemade compost, worm castings, any kind of organic matter that's dug into the ground and cultivated into the soil is what will lead to a good, strong, healthy soil. A good soil is made up of lots of ingredients, not just one product, and they're all breaking down together to feed those micronutrients, which in turn is what looks after your plants and creates good, strong, healthy growth.
So would compost be my first focus, or do you have to do it all at once?
Absolutely not. Good soil takes time, and it's all about adding things in. Think about it like a really good cake. It's made of lots of ingredients. The secret is to just make sure that everything is mixed together. You want to try and avoid layering in most garden bed situations because it takes longer to break down. The more integrated your soil is, the faster the roots can develop and the stronger your plants can grow. Compost is a wonderful way to start, whether it be purchased compost from a yard, whether it be homemade compost, or simply organic matter that's been allowed to rot down and break down into the soil. As soil and other living organisms compost, they produce many, many byproducts, one of which is humates and humic acid, which is what breaks down into soil and creates a really strong, healthy environment. It will over time break down clay, it'll produce nutrient that's available to plants and start to create that environment that allows your plants to flourish. It'll help retain moisture through the warmer seasons, as well as insulating the plants through the cooler seasons like we're having now. It is important to know your soil type. If you have a particularly heavy clay soil, you need to ensure that as your products are composting and breaking down, it's not making your soil too wet. So you might look for more sandy-based, more open, more leaf litter, more materials that as they break down will help aerate and open the soil out. Whereas if you were, say, coastal and in a really sandy soil, you want lots of manures as well as compost, because as they break down, they help retain the moisture and that will allow that soil to become healthier in a faster period of time so you can get back and get planting again. Then it comes down to looking after and insulating that soil. So now with the cooler season, it's really important that at the beginning of winter, you've mulched your garden soil or your veggie patch or whatever it is that you're growing into, because it's that mulch which acts like a blanket over the top of the soil. Now, you don't want it to be such a thick, heavy duna that your soil can't breathe, but you do need it to be thick enough as a good blanket to protect the soil and look after all those living microorganisms. If your soil gets too cold, those organisms go deeper down into the soil, away from the roots, and it takes longer for them to return back closer to the surface where your plant's feeder roots can actually access them. So mulching's really important. It doesn't actually matter whether you're using a living mulch, such as a bark, or a cane mulch or any other living type of mulch, even an artificial or synthetic mulch such as gravel, pebbles, stones will also still act as an insulator for your soil.
So is that essentially mulch, is that its purpose, to insulate, to keep it warm?
It's one of its primary purposes. The other purpose
is... And moist, obviously.
Absolutely. Helps retain moisture into the soil, helps maintain consistent temperatures. We're often asked what the best environment is to grow particular plants. And the answer is often the same regardless of the plant. The answer is a consistent environment. If you have lots of fluctuations in moisture, if you have lots of fluctuations in temperature, you tend to find that your plant grows sporadically or flowers sporadically. You don't get good, consistent performance out of your plants. It could be anything from your carrots bolt to seed really quickly rather than being a nice, good, slow burn to produce that lovely, nice, deep-sized carrot in the ground. Or it might be that your flowering shrubs burst into flower quickly and don't reflower for years again down the track. And a lot of that's to do with how consistent the environment is that the plants are growing in. So mulch is a great equalizer. It helps protect and retain the warmth through the cooler weather, and then it'll help to retain moisture during the warmer season when the plant's looking for extra moisture. It also has the added benefit of helping to reduce the weed population so you have less competition for your existing plants.
I have a friend who gets a bit mulch happy and who...
There is too much of a good thing.
Yeah, focus is not enough on the soil now we've touched on soil and just blankets everything in mulch.
It is absolutely about finding a balance.
Yeah.
So you've got to find a balance between just constantly pouring mulch on to try and suppress weeds so that you don't have to go out and weed, but also ensuring that mulch is breaking down into your soil, which is what it's designed to do, and it should be improving that soil and carrying out some of that feeding of those microorganisms and nutrients at the same time. So if you're constantly applying mulch and never actually feeding the soil, you can find that your soil can become a bit anaerobic, it can become a little bit hard or heavy underneath. So easiest ways to avoid that, occasionally get out the fork and actually fork the mulch back into the soil. It'll also have the result of opening your soil up, increasing the oxygen levels into your soil, and it'll speed up a little bit of that last decomposition of the mulch. Most mulches contain a reasonable amount of nutrients. Not all mulches are equal. You will get more nutrient from different types of mulches compared to others, but every garden type is different. Basically, the faster the mulch breaks down, the more it's feeding your garden. So you'll often find that more processed mulches such as tea tree or cypress will break down a little quicker, but their nutritional properties as they break down are really, really good compared to, say, pine bark or hoop vines, which can take up to 2 years to really start to break down, which is great in municipal areas that we don't want to be remulching all the time, but can mean that the soil starts to struggle and run out of energy unless more product is added into the soil as it's breaking down.
So touching on nutrients and the mulch feeding the soil, if we need to assist the mulch and the soil, for example, what sort of feed? I know it will vary in different environments, but what are we looking at?
Absolutely. There's thousands of different fertilizers and different nutritional products that are out on the market, from granulated, manure-based products, liquid-based products. There's thousands of different choices out there in the market. And the honest answer is 99% of them are really, really good. And it wouldn't matter which one you choose because it's all about getting a range of nutrients and a balance of nutrients into your soil. The most common suggestion that we make is to say, use a variety. If you used product A in the last season, change and use product B this time to get a different range of nutrients. You will always find that organic-based products will give you a faster breakdown, and they generally contain a softer amount of nutrient, which will over time be released into the soil and become what we refer to as plant accessible. You can put loads of nutrient into the soil, but if it's not in a plant accessible form, your plant simply won't be able to draw it up and you won't see the results. So that can be based on a huge range of things, from the structure of your soil to the pH in your soil, to ensure that your plant's roots can absorb the nutrient that's present in the soil. When it comes to feeding that soil, whether you use granulated, manure, fowl-based pellets, they'll tend to provide that mulch with the nutrient that it needs to decompose and break down quicker. So we find that most people are successful using organic-based fertilizers because they will help break down the mulch a little quicker, as well as providing plant-accessible nutrient at the same time.
Okay, and so when it comes to weeds then too, is there something proactive that we can do to prevent them, or is it all take it as it comes?
No, absolutely not. There's an old saying that says 1 year's seeding equals 7 years weeding. So the plain and simple answer is the sooner you get the weed out of the ground, the less problems you'll have with it in the long term. If you allow your weeds to develop flowers and in turn set seed and spread that seed throughout your garden, you can spend quite literally years chasing those weeds around the garden. You'll also tend to find that if you weed on a regular basis, A, the job is not as overwhelming as if you let it go for a long period of time, but B, you'll also find that the other plants in the garden are more responsive. They've got less competition, both above the ground and below the ground, when you're removing unwanted plants from the space. And remember, that's arguably the definition of a weed. A weed is simply a plant which is growing in the wrong place. Hundreds of weeds tell us information. If you've got weeds developing in your lawn, it can be an indication that the pH is too low. It can be an indication where you've got significant amounts of bindi. It can be a suggestion that your ground has been heavily compacted or it's lacking particular nutrients. And under those conditions, the lawn can't thrive, but the bindi can. So it is worth knowing what your weeds are and listening to your weeds, because they will tell you what's wrong, not only in your soil, but in your garden. And then you can remove them, rectify your problem, and you'll find that you don't have the issue in the future.
So they're very smart. Smarter than we realise.
Weeds are probably the most adaptable and the most durable forms of plants that crop up in our garden. We all know that weeds grow in some of the weirdest places that we can possibly find, from the gutters of the house to the tiny cracks in the pavers. And it's because they can take advantage of the most minute of situations in order to thrive. So look at that and learn something from that. And that gives you an indication of what plants are going to need to be successful in that garden space. It also can be a big indicator of what you need to change in your soil or in your garden space to have success with different plant types.
So just to recap, to have a successful spring garden, we need to be weed-free as much as possible. Feed, mulch, and nutrition in your soil.
Absolutely.
Have I missed anything?
No, I think that basically covers it. It really is going to be about doing that preparation work now. Makes life a whole lot easier come the warmer times. When it's super hot, A, none of us want to go out in the garden, but B, our plants are looking to be in an active growing stage. So you want to have all these building blocks of life set up in the ground so that the plants can take advantage of it. You get the strongest and healthiest growth that you possibly can, and you'll find that gardening is a lot easier.
Well, thanks for your time today, Simon. I'm going to go home and put my gardening boots on.
Absolutely. Enjoy.
This has been episode one of Digging Into Gardening. In our next episode, Simon will discuss the secrets of herb and veggie gardening and the best way to get started. If you've enjoyed this podcast and would like more information on this or other topics, visit the blog section of manawee.com.au.